Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Good morning, everyone. God bless you. Thank you for having my family and I here with you this morning. I got to tell you, from the moment that we walked in, not only have we worshiped and felt the presence of God being here, but we've also been warmly welcome, and we appreciate that. I do see that your goal or your theme is seek God, serve people, shed light. And I praise God that there's a house in Kearney that does that for the glory of God. Amen? Amen. I'm honored to be here this morning. I want to thank Pastor Joe Pastore, our presbyter, who extended the invitation to me to come this morning and be with you. Also, my pastor, my wife and I are members of Powerhouse Christian Center in Clifton, New Jersey, where Pastor Sam and Pastor Eposoto are the senior pastors. So I'm grateful to them. Thank you for Pastor Joel Pastore to have invited me. Thank you to the leadership here. Thank you to the board, again, for having me with you today. You know, you hear on the calendar that daylight savings time ends today. So I'm thinking, great, that means I get an extra hour of sleep, until I realize that my kids' bodies, that they don't care. They're going to wake up at any time. So bright and early, 7 a.m., before 7 a.m., 6:45 this morning, the little one's up, and my son is up as well. And our morning was up. We were up and ready to go. But we thank God for that. I thank my wife for being here with me today. She participates with the worship team, leads worship back at our church. And it's awesome to come and just fellowship and worship here as well. My son and my daughter are here as well, so they're great blessings. This morning, I want to talk to you this morning and share with you under the title of When You Call on His Name. And if you could please turn to Ephesians chapter 1, verse 19, as we get ready to jump into the Word of God. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 19. As Deacon Carl had shared, I do serve on the board of elders back at my church, and I'm deeply, again, grateful and honored to be here with you this morning. And I did share a presentation with the media team in the back. If you can get that up and running, that'll be great. And I'll, I guess, signal you to switch over slides. Before we jump into the book of Ephesians, I want to talk to you a little bit about, first, the financial term that's known as goodwill. Now, if any of you took a class on accounting, whether it be high school or college, then I hope I explained this properly. Or if any of you are finance or accounting majors, then I hope this comes off the right way. But goodwill I want to talk to you about. Now, goodwill, when one company purchases another company, they pay the fair market value for that company's assets and their debts. So whatever the market says company, let's for example, B is worth, then company A is going to pay that to acquire them. Now, whatever company A pays over the fair market value is goodwill. They're going to classify that on their balance sheet as goodwill. They paid over $2 million, $3 million, $10 million. Whatever they pay over is goodwill. Now, why would they pay over? Well, they would pay over because company B, for example, let's say has a solid customer base, okay? Or their brand name is well known, meaning their products, their clothing, maybe it's a car. It's a well-known, reliable product. It kind of sells itself, so it's worth, the brand name is worth it. Also, maybe they have patents or technology, okay? So they're the only maker of a certain product, or they own the name of a certain product. So all those things are valuable. And the only thing you can, the only way you can measure that value is by putting kind of a dollar amount on it. So that's goodwill. For example, let me give you a real life example of a company that is well suited, well built, and that is Coca-Cola. Coca-Cola, if a company were to try to buy out Coca-Cola, they'd have to pay quite a bit of money in goodwill. Well, why? It's because their brand name is tremendously established. Okay, so Coca-Cola is one of the most recognizable, well-known brands in the world. And their value is not so much in its factories, okay? It's not in the plants that make the bottles and the caps, but it's in the brand name and it's in the secret formula No one knows how Coca-Cola is made. Okay? There's some scientists out there who developed a secret formula. He made it, and he's passed it along, and he keeps it a secret to this day. Now, how well does this company do? Well, they post a yearly revenue on their last financial statement. They posted a revenue of $25 billion ending in fiscal year 2016. So they're well off. But this morning, I want to talk to you about not necessarily a company, not necessarily a brand name, which those are valuable, and yes, it means a lot in corporate America. But I want to talk to you about a name. When names matter, this name matters the most. Okay? I want to talk to you this morning about a name that is above all other names, the Bible tells us. This name has no match. This name really has no value. You can't quantify what this name means or how much it's worth. You can't quantify it in stocks and bonds. You can't report it or reduce it to a financial statement. This name has to be experienced. This name has to be called upon. This name has to be something that when you're in the midst of a congregation of worshipers and you lift your hands up and you call on the name of Jesus, it's a peace that surpasses all understanding. It's a peace that even though your body may be sick, even though you may not feel well, but there's a calm inside of you. Okay, you could watch the news and see that you've got family who possibly live in Puerto Rico, and there's a storm that's headed their way, or you may have family in Houston, and you know there's floods and a hurricane on its way, but the name of Jesus is the name that you call on in that hour, and there's peace that overcomes you, there's peace that overcomes your mind, and you know that there's power in that name to cover those family members in those areas. So if you turn to Ephesians chapter 1, we want to recognize the power that there is in the name of Jesus. And we're going to start at verse 19 this morning. In the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. The word says, Ephesians chapter 1, verse 19, "And what is the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at the right hand of the heavenly places." Verse 21, "Far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in that which is to come." What awesome power there is available in the name of Jesus. What awesome power there is in the name of Jesus that when he died and he was buried in a tomb, the Bible tells us that the Holy Spirit raised him from the tomb after 3 days and sat him at the right hand of the Father. And the plan that God had for his son all along was that his son would live this sinless life on earth. He would die and shed his blood for us, and that he would be exalted and his name would be above all other names. See, my heart finds comfort in knowing that the name of Jesus is all powerful. In knowing that when I need to find refuge, when I need peace, I have the name of Jesus. I remember being a kid in church and being taught this song, "There is power." Do you remember that song? There is power, wonder working power in the blood of the Lamb. And we were little kids, we would stand up front in front of the congregation and we'd sing it and we would say power, all of us would kind of make a muscle. But it was ingrained in our mind as children, there is power in the name of Jesus. There is authority in the name of Jesus, as the Bible tells us. As a child, my mom taught me that at a very young age. I remember my mom teaching me, and my mom was part of like the intercessory prayer team growing up. And I remember her teaching me, she would say to me, "Son, whenever you're in need, whenever you find yourself in a tough situation, if the enemy ever attacks you and oppresses you, remember that you plead the blood of Jesus." And I remember to this day, I hear her voice in my head saying, "La sangre de Cristo tiene poder." Amen. That the blood of Christ has power. And that never left me as a child. I always remembered that. And I remember going one day, our church took a trip. We went to go see a play at another church, and it was a great service. I remember we being there, and in the middle of this play, right in the middle of it, there was a scene where the main character passes away and he goes to hell. And he's there, and he's kind of experiencing all of that, and it's very, I was maybe 9 years old, and it was very overwhelming and just very captivating at that moment. And I remember sitting kind of halfway down the pews, and then someone just breaks out, and a demon ends up manifesting itself, and someone who was possessed. And I remember that person just screaming, and it was a screech in the sound of their voice, and they're on the floor, and they're just kind of just going back and forth all over the place. And the leaders and the pastors of the church came over, and they laid their hands and began to pray on this person. And I remember watching that and being exposed to that at a very young age. And I was sitting next to my dad, and my dad looked at me in the eye, and he said, "Close your eyes, pray, and call on the name of Jesus." And as a 9-year-old who was scared for his life, I got on my knees, I put my head in that seat, and I prayed, and I didn't move. And the next thing I knew is I passed out. And I didn't pass out because I was a super spiritual 9-year-old, it's because I was scared. And I prayed so hard that I prayed myself to sleep. But at a very young age, that's been ingrained, it was ingrained in my mind. You call on the name of Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus. And the Bible tells us that the name of Jesus is the name that is above all names in every age. Now, God knew when he gave the name of Jesus to be above all other names. He knew. And he inspired Paul to write this. And Paul wrote, in this age. So for Paul, he was the ultimate name. For Paul, remember, Paul, before he was the Apostle Paul, he was Saul of Tarsus. He was the persecutor of Christians. Okay? He was... as he put it as himself, he was a Jew of the Jew. Okay? He knew the law very well. But God transformed him. God met him on the road to Damascus. So he wrote that the name of Jesus, he came to understand, was the name that it was above all other names in the age in which he wrote this, inspired by the Holy Spirit, and the age that was to come. That's tremendous to me because of all throughout humanity, from President number one through president number 45, 46, 47, whichever number we're up to. If you're a history buff, you know the number. But all through age, all through history, humanity has had the opportunity and the power to call on the name of Jesus. No matter disasters, no matter what through history our world has been through, we've been able to call on the name of Jesus. So what does that mean to us today? Well, as you watch the news, and as I mentioned earlier, you see hurricanes, you see floods, you see terrorist attacks in New York City, in London, okay, people going to a concert and fire being opened on them. We see that there's countries in the Middle East that daily are at war. We see sicknesses going around our world. And we see that there's rumors of nuclear missiles being prepared to be aimed at our country. And then you see kingdom rising up against kingdom. We also see that what the Bible says, that that which is wrong and sin that the Bible defines publicly, the world will call it good. And that which the Bible calls good, the world now calls bad. And we're beginning to see morality just decay. And people are being desensitized. That which might have been rated R 10 years ago, 15 years ago, today gets away with PG-13. Okay? And when you put on a movie and it's PG, rated PG, you're like, oh, it should be all right. Then you begin to see things. You're like, whoa, wait a minute. I didn't know that this was okay now. Okay? So we're beginning to see morality decrease. We're beginning to see the level of sensitivity to one another, brotherhood decrease, the love for one another decrease. Now, remember, Jesus did say that when he'd return, that the heart of many, before he returned, the heart of many will grow cold. And when he returned, he questioned, will I find faith on earth? And we're beginning to see that take place in humanity on our earth every day. So the name of Jesus is our hope. The name of Jesus is our anchor. The fact that we have his name to call on, and the fact that his name is above all other names, gives us peace. It's the power that we are to call on. You know, we just passed the Halloween time. And Halloween is a period of time that a lot of people turn to the wicked things, the evil things, and You know, it's funny that for most of the year, we stand against evil. We stand against blood and gore, and we see these horrible acts on the news, and we say, how can someone do this? So we question how a good God can allow evil. But yet for one day a year, society seems to exalt evil and seems to exalt darkness. But that's what the Bible says, that sin blinds people, and they don't see behind it the truth of what's there. But for many of us in the past, we may have seen a movie, and maybe we've seen a scary movie of someone's head rotating 360 degrees, or maybe we've seen the movie where that woman just crawls down the stairs backwards, or we've seen these scary movies, and that stuff we understand is, it's not fake, that's real. The demonic forces are real. Demonic principalities are real. Darkness is real. But the Bible tells us that the name of Jesus is above all of those things. So we don't watch those things, not because we just don't enjoy watching movies, but we don't watch those things because that doesn't please God, number one. But number two, the name of Jesus is above all those things. The power of Jesus is above evil and above the darkness of this world. And God doesn't find pleasure in that, so therefore we know will we. Let's move on to verse 22. And he, God, put all things under his feet, meaning Christ, and gave him to be head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. The Bible tells us that Jesus was given to be the head of the church, and that the church is you and I. We are the body of Christ, and that all things are at Jesus, underneath Jesus' feet. So let's visualize that for a moment. If we are the body, and Jesus is the head of the church, and all things are at his feet, that means all things are at whose feet as well? Ours as well. That means when you face sickness, when you face debt, when you are persecuted, okay, when you are left out for the name and the cause of Christ, that we have already been given victory in Jesus because he is at the head. And if it's at his feet, then it's at our feet as well. Then that should change the way we pray, brother and sister. We should pray with authority. We should pray with conviction. We should be willing and open to taking that bottle of anointing, okay? And anointing our children before they go to school, before they start a school year. We should be open to turning off the TV, okay? Turning off the iPads and the iPhones for a little bit, setting all that down, okay? Gathering our family up and pacing the house, pleading the blood of Christ, giving worship, giving exaltation to the plan of God. Because we know this, the Bible says that Satan is like a roaring lion, okay? Never ceasing, that he always has a plan for destruction. Sometimes we're weak, sometimes we may not pray, sometimes we have a day off, or an off day, I should say. But he never does. He never seems to take a day off. He always seems to be ready every morning to try to knock us off and make us fall into temptation. So we have confidence, we have victory in knowing that in the name of Jesus that we are to pray. That in his name, in the age when Paul wrote under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, and today in 2017, his power, his authority does not change. So when we see what it says in verse 22 and verse 23, we the church understand that Christ is our head. Christ is our leadership. Christ is the one that guides us. He's the one that directs our path as the church. Therefore, there's the church. We don't put our faith in a politician. We don't put our faith in a social leader, in a social activist. Not at all. We don't put our faith in the promises of what a politician may promise for the next 4 years or doesn't promise, but we put our faith in Christ Almighty. Amen? Amen. Before he is our head, and he is the one who leads us into all things, and our confidence and our trust is in him. Please turn with me to Acts chapter 3. When there's power and when there's authority in his name, it leads to something. His name is powerful for a reason. We read how his name is above all names. But how does that play out in our lives? How does God want us to use the name of Jesus? We turn to Acts chapter 3, verse 1. where we read of how Peter and John met a man, a lame man, a man who was crippled from birth, in front of in front of the gate called Beautiful. And he outreached and stretched his hands, the Bible says, this lame man did. And he was asking for alms. He wanted mercy. He wanted a donation. He wanted something of monetary benefit to him. As a beggar who was crippled from birth, I'm sure he had much need. The Bible says that he was carried on a daily basis and set before the temple. And he was left there. And he saw Peter and John who were coming. The Bible says that Peter and John looked at him and called his attention. And Peter says this to him. He says in verse 5, so he gave them his attention, expecting to receive something from them. I want to stop right there, and I want us to understand that the world will look at us and expect to receive something. They may not even realize that they're in need. But we who are filled with the Holy Spirit and have the power of the name of Jesus understand that when God gives us those spiritual eyes and fills us with his Spirit, that Ephesians 2:10 says that he has already ordained for the good works that we will do for his honor and his glory. That means when you walk into work tomorrow, when I walk into work tomorrow, there might be that coworker that has no idea that they're in need. But we carry the hope of Jesus Christ. So the world will look at us and they want to receive something, but they don't know how to define what is that they need. They don't know how to put a finger or explain that joy, that power, that hope that is within us. But they are looking to receive something. Verse 6, then Peter said, silver and gold I do not have, but what I have I give you. Please don't ever let the world, and by the world I mean a non-believer, the secular world, please don't ever let the world define our worth based on silver and gold, because it's not. My worth, your worth is defined by the blood that was shed on the cross by Jesus Christ. My worth and your worth is defined by the fact that Jesus gave of his life. He allowed himself to be beaten. He allowed himself to be nailed before on a cross innocently, so that his blood would be shed, so that one day you and I would be forgiven. If you ever wonder, God, am I worth it? If you ever look in the mirror and wonder, what am I worth? What is my value? Maybe your life hasn't amounted to what you thought it would amount to. Maybe you didn't acquire the degrees that you thought you would acquire. Maybe your body carries a sickness that you thought you wouldn't carry by now, or you never expected to have. Maybe you're wrestling with something in your life. Maybe there's a promotion you're looking for, a title, or there's something that is not yet, you haven't seen fulfilled in your life just yet. But when you wonder those things, we are reminded that our value is in Christ. Our hope is in Christ. See, we're not defined by the amount of plaques that we have on a wall. We're not defined by the size of a 401k. We're not defined by how much money we have saved up in a bank account. We're not defined by the letters that follow our name of CEO or CIO or whatever, so on and so forth. Our value in Christ is defined by who he is and by the fact that he has taken his righteousness and he has applied it to us. The fact that when we believe in Jesus, the Bible says that when we call on his name, okay, when we call on his name and we confess with our mouth and we believe in our heart that we are saved, that when we become his, how amazing is it that when God looks at you and looks at me, he doesn't see us, but he sees Jesus Christ. He sees the righteousness of Christ. He sees that shining, that glory. Now, I don't know about you, but I grew up in church, okay? But when I was about 18, 19 years old, when I had the first chance to do what I wanted to do, and mom and dad couldn't force me to go anymore, guess what I did? I ran. I ran, and I ran for about 6 years. And I lived life on my terms. Okay? Now, I know what I've done, and I know the sin that I've committed before him, and I know what it was like to lose the fear of God. But the Bible says, train your child up in the ways of God, that when he departs, he will never forget. And there came a point that in my life in those 6 years when I was just roaming around, okay, aimlessly, without purpose, because my purpose was in God, but I was outside of my purpose. And I lived and I bought into the lie of the world that fun was outside of Christ, that real living was outside of Christ. And when I found myself in that darkness, I found myself lonely, although I was surrounded by friends. I found myself empty, okay, although I tried and tested some things that the world offered. But I found myself empty in the end of it all. I would find myself parking my car, walking home, 3, 4 o'clock in the morning, feeling afraid and scared. Because I didn't have that presence, that power of God, that Holy Spirit living inside of me. I had a mom on her knees praying for me that I would get home safely and that God in his mercy would save me. And I had a dad, when I would get home sometimes at night, he was at the dining room table reading his Bible, probably angry that I was getting home at that time. But he understood. I had reached an age that I had to make a decision for myself. But I bought the lie of the world. But I share this because I want to tell you that I know what I've done. But today, I have been washed by the blood of Jesus Christ. Okay? I have been accepted and redeemed by the blood of Christ. And I have walked into his perfect plan and his perfect will for me. And my goal every day, and our goal every day, is to stay in his will. But when we live in that, the Bible tells us that when God looks at us, he doesn't see us. He sees the righteousness of Jesus Christ in our place. And that is something that every day I give God thanks for. Verse 6, then Peter says, silver and gold I do not have, but what I have, I give you. There is something awesome, tremendous, valuable inside of you that God has deposited in you. That the moment you said, Lord Jesus, come into my heart. Lord, I've lived my life my way. I turn from that. I repent. And Jesus, I accept you as my personal Savior. At that very moment, the Bible says that God deposits the Holy Spirit inside of you. And there's awesome power. Remember we read in Ephesians 1 that Jesus was resurrected from the grave? Well, the same Holy Spirit that raised Jesus from the grave is the same one that lives inside of you. That's the same one that lives inside of you. That's why when God prompts you to get up in the middle of the night and pray, you pray under the power, under the anointing of the Holy Spirit. So Paul is saying, listen, I may not have gold, I may not have silver, I may not have money. Okay? We're not defined by the value that society says a man and a woman should have in this day. But Paul is saying, listen, what I have I will give you in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. What a statement for Peter to make. What a statement. See, Peter saw the healings. Peter saw the miracles firsthand that Jesus performed. Remember, Peter was on the Mount of Transfiguration. He saw when Jesus, after he was risen, after he presented himself, and he transformed right in front of his very eyes and ascended to the Father. Peter saw that. Peter fell for dead at the very presence of God. Peter said, "What should we just build an altar here for you? I will worship you and never leave this mountain after what I just saw." So he was speaking with conviction. He was speaking not only under the filling of the Holy Spirit, but he was speaking as an eyewitness, firsthand witness of what Jesus Christ had done. And I truly believe, brother and sister, that you and I have experienced God. You and I have seen the power of Jesus. You and I can be eyewitnesses to say to others, silver and gold I do not have, but what I do have I will give you in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. And the very next words that Peter says is, rise up and walk. What a bold statement that Peter made. But remember, Peter was also the one that pulled out a sword when Jesus was arrested. And he cut the ear of the soldier that came to arrest Jesus Christ. Right? So Peter was that bold leader, that bold follower, that bold defender of Jesus. And what did Jesus do? He said, Peter, back down, put your sword away. Jesus picked up the ear, put it right back on that soldier and healed him instantly. So this is the same Peter that witnessed that. This is the same Peter that said, my Jesus has the power to heal. I've seen it. My Jesus walked on water. I've seen it with my own two eyes. My Jesus said, Peter, come walk out. Remember, Peter took a few steps on water, right? And if his faith had carried him further, he might have taken more. But for just a moment, he stopped believing and he fell in. And then he cried out, Jesus, save me. And Christ saved him and put him back on the boat. This same Peter is the same Peter who later went on to deny Christ 3 times. When he denied that he would ever do that. But he denied Christ. Now how great is the mercy of God that the man who once stood with him, loved him, defended him, cut a soldier's ear for him, but later then denied him in front of people. How great is God that that same man, Jesus, forgives him and later tells him, Peter, you are my rock. You are my rock that I am going to build my church upon, and the gates of hell will not stand against it. See, Jesus knew he had a plan for Peter's life. He knew, Peter, I'm going to fill you on the day of Pentecost with the Holy Spirit. The promise is going to come and he's going to fill you. And when he does, Peter, when he fills you, you're going to go out and preach my word. You're going to heal people. You're going to proclaim the name of Jesus. And you're going to tell of the firsthand miracles that you've seen in my name that I've performed. So Peter, with all authority, with all confidence, okay, mind you, having remembered he walked for a few steps on the water, having remembered he was the one who denied Christ but yet was forgiven, redeemed, and brought back into the fold, having been the one Jesus said, I'm going to build my church on you, Peter, and you're going to be the rock. All this confidence, all this filling of the Holy Spirit, all that leads to this very moment at the gate where Peter reaches his hand out and he says, silver and gold I don't have, but what I have I give you in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Now, rise up and walk. And when he says that, the Bible says in verse 7, and he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet, his ankle bones received strength. There is no other name that that could have happened in but in the name of Jesus. There is no doctor that could be called upon. There is no top-rated hospital that could be called upon at that very moment that could have corrected that man's ankle bones, his knee bones, that every ligament, that every bone would have been put in place as the name of Jesus did at that very moment. There is no other name that we can call upon. When there's storms that are in our life, when there's sicknesses that touch or strike our body, there is no other name that we can call on other than the name of Jesus. I want you to know that fear is real. Depression is real. Anxiety is real. The evil workings of the enemy are real. His plan to destroy you, destroy me, destroy those little ones you saw that I walked in with, my little 6-year-old, my little 1-year-old, I know the enemy already has a plan to destroy them. But I also know that I have been given the power and the authority in the name of Jesus to plead the blood of Christ over their lives, that no matter what the enemy raises up against them, that they are covered by the blood of Jesus Christ. And that is the same power and authority that is being given to you, brother and sister, that you would plead the blood of Christ over your family, over your children, over your lost sons and daughters, lost aunts and uncles, brothers, nieces, nephews that you may have, that you would plead the blood of Christ. That how there was a mom on her knees praying for me when I was lost and in the world, that we would pray for others as well. And as we see that Peter prays this prayer, and he is reminded of that. Verse 8 tells us that this life, the life of this beggar was changed instantaneously. Verse 8, so he, leaping up, stood up and walked and entered the temple with them, walking, leaping, praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God. Then they knew that it was he who sat begging alms at the beautiful gate of the temple, and they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. The wonder-working power of Jesus Christ comes that the non-believer would become a believer. That the people that saw this lame man day after day for his entire life sitting at the gate begging for a donation, begging for mercy, suddenly this man was standing. And not just standing, he's leaping. He goes from ankles that didn't function. He goes from knees that didn't function. He goes from feet that he never stood on his entire life to leaping, jumping for joy, and praising God at being healed. What an amazing testimony to the wonder-working power of God at that very moment. What a testimony and what an opportunity for Peter and John to give glory to God at that very hour. You see, the miracles of God, the wonder-working power of God comes that the name of Jesus would be exalted. And when the name of Jesus is exalted, the Bible tells us, Jesus says that if my name, that if I be lifted up on earth, okay, if I be lifted up, this is John chapter 12, verse 32, and if I be lifted up from earth, I will draw all people unto myself. You see, the job that you and I have been given is not to save. We can't save a soul. But the job that we've been given is to take that power, the authority in the name of Jesus, and to exalt him and to raise him up and lift him up on high. And the work of Christ is that he will draw all manner of man is unto him. So if this morning you're dealing with a sickness that has touched your body, in the middle of that sickness, you lift up Jesus. You lift up the name of Christ. You lift him up high above the earth. That when people see, how is that man and how is that woman standing, though they're going through what they're going through, that through struggle, through sickness, through financial challenges that we may face, through whatever it is that we go through, sometimes at work things don't go our way, but our coworkers are watching, especially if they've identified us or they know that we're a believer, they're watching. And we want to show them, we want to exalt Christ. And although they may not sit with us at the lunch table, although they may not share the inside jokes with us, and sometimes it's better that they don't, and also we're not part of the little clique by the water cooler, or although sometimes we're not invited to certain things, or it's funny, sometimes I get invited to go to happy hour, and I'm like, really? Like, I'm good, thank you. But in their mind, they don't make that connection, because they'll talk to others who say that they're Christian, but then they're right next to them at the bar. They're right next to them at the dance floor. But you see, our life is to exalt the name of Jesus. For when we do, he will draw people as unto him. Amen? Amen. So God will use our circumstances. God will use our failures. God will use our challenges that we would glorify his name. That at those very moments, like this man who was born this way, God had a plan for him from this very day of birth. That he knew one day he would be healed. He would leap up and glorify the name of God. And it would give an opportunity. Let's go down to verse 12. It would give an opportunity for Peter to give a reason. Now he says this later in 1 Peter. I don't remember the chapter, but he says, always be prepared to give a reason for the hope that is within you. And Peter does just that here in the book of Acts. So people are now starting to look at Peter and John like, whoa, what did those guys just do? They're starting to now draw to Peter and John and say, these two men healed that man that we knew was a beggar, cripple for his entire life. But Peter is very clear in giving Jesus the credit and the exaltation at that very moment. Verse 12, so when Peter saw it, he responded to the people, men of Israel, why do you marvel at this? Or why do you look so intently at us as though by our own power or godliness we made this man walk? So he's saying, listen, don't look at me. Don't look at me. I'm just a man. I'm just a vessel in the hands of an all-powerful God. In verse 16, I love what Jesus says. I'm sorry, what Peter says. He clarifies in whose name this was possible. Verse 16, and his name, Peter is saying, through faith in his name of Jesus, has made this man strong, whom you see and know. Yes, faith which comes through him has given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all. So Peter took advantage of that very moment, and he clarified in whose name this healing was performed, in whose name this miracle had happened. Why is that? Because these same religious leaders were the same ones not that long ago denied that Jesus was the Son of God. These were the same religious leaders that not that long ago stood before Pilate. And when Pilate said, I give you a choice. Either I free Jesus Christ, he says he's the king of the Jews, which you say he's not, but I could free him or I could free Barabbas. I could free the one. Who do you want me to free? And if you remember, the Bible says that the people overwhelmingly yelled, free Barabbas. And therefore, Jesus, it was a plan of God, was given over to the Roman soldiers and later crucified. So he's clarifying and saying, you know that same Jesus that you denied? That same Jesus you said was not the Son of God, who you said had no power, who had no authority, who you said was a liar? That same Jesus, it was in his name that the lame man was healed. It was in his name and in his authority that we came and he was healed. And at hearing that, what can those people say? How can they react at that point? How can they deny the power of God at that very moment? You see, the power of God, when we call on the power of God, when the power of his name is evident, it brings about repentance. Because when we see that the power, the authority in the name of Jesus is real, when you see it work out in someone's life, when someone that you knew goes from being a sinner, they go from being a Saul to a Paul, or their life completely transforms, or somebody may know you, and maybe they knew you before you were saved, before you became a Christian, and they know you today, and they're amazed at the transformation, and they're amazed at who the person you are today. When they see that, the power in the name of Jesus becomes real. Because there's things that we stop doing that we would never be able to stop doing if it wasn't for the name of Jesus. If it wasn't that for the blood of Christ, which cleansed us and purified us. If it wasn't that God gave us a new nature and a new name, we would still be that same person that we used to be. But every time you walk into that family barbecue, and we're coming up Thanksgiving, and we're coming up Christmas, and a lot of family gatherings, be encouraged that every time you walk into those family gatherings, and you walk in, and you may be the only believer in that home, or maybe one of the few, but you stand as the pillar of faith for them. They may criticize you. They may turn from you. They may talk about you. But understand that when they're in the hospital, who are they going to call? That when their child is sick, who are they going to call? That when they don't know what to do, they don't know where to turn, who are they going to call? Because the evidence of Christ is real in me and it's real in you. It's because our life is lived to give God glory. That when we do that, the power of the name of Jesus calls on repentance. And as we see in verse 19, Peter then calls the people that were standing there, repent therefore and be converted. He's telling them, turn from your ways. Turn from your ways. Find sorrow in the sin in which you used to find joy. Find displeasure in the sin in which you used to find pleasurable. You see, when you experience Christ, when you get to see Jesus for his fullness, when he touches your life, when he renews your mind, when he frees your heart, you look at those old things and you don't want that anymore. And we realize those things are just fleeting. They're passing. But real life is in Jesus Christ. So he's calling them to repent. He's calling them to turn away and to find sorrow in what they used to find joy. And turn away from sin. And that's exactly what this opportunity lent itself for Peter. And in closing, excuse me. In closing, I want to share with you, brother and sister, today. I don't know what you happen to be in need of. I don't know what you came walking into this church this morning that was on your heart or it was on your mind. I don't know what you're seeking. I don't know what you need, but I do know and I can tell you that there's power and the authority in the name of Jesus. I can tell you that whatever you do need, and I'll ask if you could just please stand to your feet, that whatever you do need, your answer is in the name of Jesus. That if your heart is burdened, that if your heart is heavy, there is power and there's authority in the name of Jesus. that if your spiritual life is in need of a recharge, that if your prayer life is in need of a jolting. Have you ever had to give a car a boost because their battery died out and it just didn't work, it didn't function? And another car with a strong battery had to come along and lay cables, aka lay hands on the battery, and the charged car had to rev up its engine, and then the car that had no power all of a sudden had power and it got going. Well, I want to tell you this morning, if your spiritual life needs a jolt, Jesus doesn't need power cables. What he does is when you call on his name, he sends his Holy Spirit and his Spirit will touch you. Oh, when you call on his name, his Spirit will fill you in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. His Spirit will fill you in this day. If you're in need, hallelujah, if your spiritual life is in need of a jolt, lift your hands and call on the name of Jesus this morning. If your prayer life needs a jolt, call on the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. He'll revive it in the name of Jesus. He will revive it in the name of Jesus. If you're having a hard time praying because you can't get your mind to stop, you can't get your mind to just rest, and you have a hard time concentrating, reading the word, or praying, call on the name of Jesus. He will deliver your mind this morning. There is freedom in the name of Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus. Oh, he intended us to live a powerful life in him. He never intended us to limp through life or barely make it through life. You have been filled with the power of the Holy One of Heaven. The King of Kings and the King of Glory is yours. Hallelujah. He lives inside of you. Our prayers are supposed to be answered. Healings are supposed to happen when we pray. People are supposed to be delivered when we lay hands on them in the name of Jesus. See, it took a little experiencing. It took a little bit for Peter to understand that when he said, stand up and walk in the name of Jesus, it was supposed to happen. Peter had to go through some stuff to get to that place in his faith. But everything he had been through in his life prepared him for that very moment. Brother and sister, what you've been through is not in vain. God is preparing you. What you are currently going through is not in vain. The Lord Jesus is preparing you. In this day, he wants to fill you with his Spirit. In this day, he wants to anoint you with his Holy Spirit. In this day, he wants you to overflow with the power of God, that you would walk into his very power, into his very glory. He wants you to walk into his purpose that he has for your life. Call on his name. Call on the name of Jesus. Maybe you need to be delivered this morning. Call on his name. Maybe there's something you're struggling with. Call on his name. Ask the Holy Spirit to reveal it to you. Ask the Holy Spirit, as the psalmist says in Psalm 139, search me and know me, O Lord, that if there's any iniquity in me, drive it out. Ask the Holy Spirit to search you. Call on his name that he would deliver you. Maybe you're in the need of healing this morning. Call on the name of Jesus. Call on the name of Jesus that he'll heal you. That he will heal you. That in your darkest hour, he will be there for you if you call on his name. Call on his name. Maybe you're in need of forgiveness. Call on the name of Jesus. Call on the name of Jesus. Maybe you're the one that needs to forgive. Call on the name of Jesus. Call on his name. He will show you how to forgive. He will remind us that we forgive not because the person who offended us deserves it. We forgive because when we didn't deserve it, He forgave us. That yet when we were sinners, Jesus died on the cross for us. Jesus knew I turned my back on Him at one point in my life. He knew that for 6 years I'd walk away from Him. But He still took that cross with me in mind. And He said, son, I'm going to die for you. Because there'll be a day when you're going to need me. You're going to fall on your face and call on me. And when you do, I'm going to come running and I'm going to show up. Well, this morning, call on His name and He's going to show up for you in the name of Jesus. Call on Him in the name of Jesus. Maybe you're in the need of salvation. Call on Him. Call on Him. Call on the name of Jesus. Listen, there's a reason why society would prefer that you wouldn't say the name of Jesus. This is why your employer would prefer that you don't bring church into matters. They prefer you wouldn't open your meetings with a prayer. They prefer you wouldn't say the name of Jesus at work. That's because where you say the name of Jesus, when you call on His name, when you draw near to Him, he draws near to you. That when you resist Him, the enemy has to flee, the Bible says. That when you call on the name of Jesus, demons shiver. That when you call on the name of Jesus, there is authority and there is power. That the enemy must flee when you call on the name of Jesus. So I encourage you this morning to audibly open your mouth and call on the name of Jesus. Can we do that today as a body? Can we do that today as brothers and sisters in Christ? Can we do that today? The Bible tells us that on the day of Pentecost, they were gathered in the upper room in one accord, in one spirit. Can we be gathered this morning in this beautiful church in one accord, in one spirit, in one voice? Let's call on the name of Jesus. Jesus, hallelujah. Jesus, we call on You this morning. Jesus, we call on You, hallelujah. Deliver us, Jesus, we're calling on You. Set us free, we're calling on You, Jesus. Revive our prayer life, we're calling on You, Jesus. Revive our time of prayer, we're calling on You, Jesus. Revive our time of reading Your word, we call on You, Jesus, hallelujah. Oh, anoint us this morning, we call on You, Jesus. Break away sin in our lives, we call on You, Jesus, hallelujah. Set our minds free, we call on You, Jesus. Free our hearts this morning, we call on You, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Set the heart that is captive free this morning, in the name of Jesus. Oh, the mind that needs rest, receive rest this morning in the name of Jesus. The heart that is troubled, be free in this morning in the name of Jesus. The mind that is burdened, be free this morning in the name of Jesus. Your Savior has arrived, hallelujah. Your King is here this morning, hallelujah. Oh, He hears your cries. He hears your cries. He sees your tears. He knows that which you share with no one. He hears you. And this morning He says, I am here for you, son. I am here for you, daughter. Find rest in Me. I am your refuge. Call on My name and I will give you strength. Call on My name, I will give you strength. For My strength is made perfect in your weakness. Call on My name and I will set you free. Call on My name and I will renew you. Call on My name and I will baptize you in the Holy Spirit. Call on My name and I will descend power on you from on high. Call on My name and those who are unsaved will be saved in the name of Jesus. Pray in My name, hallelujah. Pray in My name and you will see chains will be broken. Pray in My name and I will show you great and mighty things. in my name and receive freedom in my name. Pray in my name. Pray in my name. Call on the name of Jesus. Call on the name of Jesus. Maybe it's been a while that you felt his presence. Maybe it's been a while. But oh, today the Lord says, come home. Come home, come to my presence. Find strength. Be renewed, hallelujah. Be renewed, hallelujah. Be renewed in the name of Jesus. You are more than a conqueror in Christ Jesus. You are more than a conqueror in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. Don't let the world label you. Don't let the world define you. Don't let your struggle define you. Hallelujah. The Lord says, I am the God of your struggle. I am the God of your struggle. I am God in the light. I am God in the darkness. In your greatest hour, I am your God. In your darkest hour, I am your God. I am faithful. I am long-suffering. Put your trust in me in this day. Put your trust in me in this day. I will not fail you. I am not man to lie. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh Lord, you are great. Father, you are good. Father, you are good. Hallelujah. 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 We are your people this morning, oh God, calling out to a Savior. Calling out to the only one who could have healed that lame man. We call out to the only name that is set to be above all names. As we close out, just want to pray one final prayer. And I want to ask if there's anyone who has not received Jesus as their personal Savior. If today is your day of salvation, I would just ask that you would raise your hand. That you would raise your hand. And also, as we close out this time of prayer in the presence of God, pray that we would call out the name of Jesus. And that the Holy Spirit would, as he has been, just lead us to proclaim his name over whatever you're dealing with. If it's diabetes, we proclaim the name of Jesus over it. High blood pressure, we proclaim the name of Jesus over it. If it's an autoimmune disease, we proclaim the name of Jesus over it. Whatever you're facing financially, at work, whatever it is, today we walk out of here encouraged as victorious followers of Christ, for his name is above it all. So please pray that with me as we close. In the name of Jesus, we pray, Father, this morning we come to you as one body, as one voice, O God, and we declare your name is above cancer. We declare your name is above diabetes. We declare that your name is above all autoimmune diseases, lupus, vitiligo, and so on and so forth. Your name is above all of it. Your name is above financial debt. Your name is above a poor credit report. Your name is above rent that can't get paid. Your name is above a mortgage that we may be struggling to pay. Your name is above the needs of this house, hallelujah, that you established. Your name is above whatever challenges we may be facing at work. Your name is above whatever challenges are facing the families that are here. Your name is above it all. The Bible tells us that we are the fullness of you, Christ. We are your body. And that everything is at your feet. Well, Lord, if it's at your feet, then it's at our feet too. And we give you a praise for glory for that very good news this morning, Jesus. That it's at our feet. We just got to call out to you, Lord, and believe that there is power in your name, that there is authority in your name, that as the Bible says, in this age, in the age to come, that whatever sicknesses haven't even been revealed to humanity yet, your name is already above it. That the war that is yet to even come, that we have no idea about, your name is above it. That your name is above all social issues that exist right now amongst our people. There is such social unrest in our nation. But our faith is not in politics. Our faith is not in an athlete that bows or doesn't bow to a flag or to a celebrity who takes a political stance. Our faith is in the King of Kings and the King of Glory. Our faith is in Jesus. And in your name we call this morning. Father, I thank you that you've touched us today. You've renewed us today. We love you, Jesus. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Thank you.